Is your retirement roadmap up to date? Things have changed significantly in recent years, so it's crucial to stay ahead of the curve. Don't be surprised by hidden roadblocks, such as Social Security, healthcare, and both Secure Acts. Get control over your retirement. We unpack the details and we start right now.
And now, Money Matters USA with Fred Sage.
And you also need to work with your advisor to create multiple income streams.
You're at the right place for information every week regarding all the components of a successful retirement plan.
Asset allocation is really a driving force for how much your accounts are going to grow.
Fred Sade is a financial fiduciary and retirement specialist.
I have to put the client's interest ahead of my own pocketbook at all times. I must be able to justify why I'm making the recommendations.
Money Matters USA with Fred Sade.
Welcome into episode 149 of Money Matters USA. Fred Sade. Fred is founder and managing director of his firm, Money Matters USA, a fiduciary firm. Fred holding a PhD in economics from Duke University and focusing on retirement planning as he has for years. So this is episode 149, Fred. We always have an anniversary special show. The last one we did was on episode 104, which marked 2 years. So what are we looking at math-wise? When the next one would be. I'd have to break out the calculator here.
Yeah, I don't know offhand.
I mean, last time we had a ball at it.
Yes, we did. We had a lot of fun. We even got to interview the chef.
Exactly. 104 plus 52 equals 156. We're close, Fred. 156.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very close.
Well, wow, I didn't realize it.
This is an impressive number. 10,000 baby boomers every day reaching retirement age. What does that do to the retirement universe? That's what we're breaking down, Fred, is in this first segment of the podcast. I guess we have to go to the obvious here. Social Security and Medicare and the strain on both.
Yeah, there's no question about it. We're almost at the point of 11,000 because we're adding in. It's not just the boomers anymore. Some of their children are starting
Gen X.
Yeah, starting to retire. And the system was never set up to accommodate this number of people. When it was set up, the average mortality was less than age 60. Then when Alan Greenspan did a fix on Social Security, he assumed a 75-year fix. Well, we're coming up to that already. So how do we deal with this problem? We really need a bipartisan commission with people to do the technical works and both parties to take the heat for whatever the decision is. And right now, we don't have a decision. Maybe in the next Congress, it'll get looked at. There is a committee that has done some work as part of the Congress, but right now we don't have a solution. And my concern is that the longer you wait, the more likely it is that we'll just get an increase in the contribution limits. The Alicia Manel, who heads the program of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, just authored a report, came out about a week or so ago, and they're talking about a tax increase, both for the employer and the employees. Employee to make Social Security solvent for another 75 years. And this is a difficult kind of problem to deal with. We just don't have enough active workers to support mm-hmm. the number of retirees, and that's the demographics of it. Medicare is under enormous pressure. It's set to run out of money even sooner than Social Security. And Inflation Reduction Act had some changes, particularly on prescription drugs. Excuse me, but it's had a perverse effect in that it's actually increased the price of medications, and it's actually limited the amount of choice that's available. The plan has to cover two in every category under the Inflation Reduction Act, but doesn't have to do anything else. So it's been quite an interesting experience for people who are under Part D, as in Delta. There's no solution, you know, on the horizon. One of the most talked about solutions is to invest some of that money into some form of indexing, very similar to the federal government's thrift retirement savings plan. But there's a problem in doing that, because if you did that, you would have to borrow from the Treasury. In other words, every month the Treasury sold special use bonds to help fund Social Security. And if you were to take money from Social Security, from this surplus, and put it into some kind of index funds, the problem you would have is you'd have to monetize 100% of those IOUs right away. So that means you would have to borrow that money from the Treasury, and that would also increase the deficit. But there's another problem with that. You'd have to admit that Social Security is not a pay-as-you-go program, which it's not. In fact, for all practical purposes, Social Security is an entitlement, and the money that gets paid out is paid out as an entitlement. So you'd be forced to concede that once you went to borrow the money from the Treasury, if you monetized all the IOUs up front, and effectively that's what happens every single month. The Treasury makes the payments and then collects the money. So effectively, it is the Treasury paying for it, and it is an entitlement. So some of the provisions were never intended. The addition of disability and the SSI for people who don't qualify for Social Security disability. So, I mean, these are enormous problems. And Medicare is government health insurance. The U.S. government is the health insurer. And there are some states that have slightly different Part B type supplemental plans, but for the most part, there's pretty much standardization.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what does develop over the years on that challenging front. And speaking of over the years, in 2030, people age 65 and older will comprise 20% of the U.S. population. So what will that do to overall health care services?
It's going to stress them tremendously. Right now, Medicare pays a reduced amount for services. It gets coded out, and it pays based on its own schedule, and then it doesn't pay for a lot of things. And what it does pay for, if there's a balance, it throws it onto your Part B plan. Now, you could have a Part C plan, which is which is closer to the type of plan that people had in their working years, but you can get those with no payment. You don't have a monthly payment, but you do have copays. You may have deductibles, and companies are. Because of the Inflation Reduction Act, companies that are offering the Part C plans are shrinking the amount of coverage and reducing the amount of coverage to increase their profitability. So the Inflation Reduction Act has had an insidious effect on Medicare and on the benefits that are offered under prescription drugs and under Part C plans. So this problem, in my opinion, is too great to be left to politicians, and this is where I really believe you really have to have, as I said, a joint commission with technical experts, and both parties prepared to take the heat on this, because the existing programs are just not viable. And it's always inevitable. Every country that has socialized medicine always reaches the point where there is choices that have to be made, and triaging that has to be done, and who gets benefits in what order. Right now, you have to wait to see a specialist. You cannot just see a specialist because you want to. And in many countries that have socialized medicine, there is a carve out for private health insurance. And people do have who can afford it, have private health insurance and opt out of the government system, so they don't have to face the triage choices that government provided health care. There was a time when Canadians came into the United States for treatment because they had private health insurance. I may be wrong on this, but I don't believe private health insurance exists in Canada anymore. Now, I may be wrong on that, because
they were socialized. I always wondered if there was an option, like if they could opt for private.
There was, and in New York hospitals, yeah, you would see Canadians coming in with private health insurance, because the wait for cardiac bypass surgery was over 6 months at one time. I don't know what it is now, but I know if you want to go see a specialist and you call up, they're not going to see you tomorrow.
Mm-mm.
I mean, may have to wait a month, you may have to wait 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Some of them are booked 90 days out, and so it's very difficult in many cases to get an appointment for specialty care.
Definitely heard that.
We already have that.
What about whoever has a pension anymore? Obviously, once again, with the graying of America, it's a strain on that too.
Yeah, it is, and there's a conversation going on right now about bringing back on a limited basis the defined benefit plan. There are pros and cons, and some people think it's a good idea, and others do not. Others like the idea of a defined contribution plan and the 401k combination. The problem is that the 401k was not designed to produce income. Under Secure Act 1, the plan had to tell you what your benefits were if restated, not only as the amount of money, the amount of assets you had, but what would it be worth if it was turned into an income. Now, some companies are starting to offer some kind of annuity or annuity-like benefit from the 401k. We're only at the inception of this, so there's not a widespread market. Not every employer wants to adopt this. A lot of these provisions are voluntary provisions that an employer can or cannot adopt. So the private market still exists. Now, under the new rules that the Department of Labor put into effect and goes into effect in late September of this year, if the courts don't halt it, that rollovers have to be examined, and there's now a three-part test for a rollover, whether or not there should be a rollover, whether or not it should stay within the plan, whether or not there should be a lump sum distribution. Now, the lump sum distribution may sound strange. Why would you take a lump sum distribution and pay all the tax? But the reason for it is for plans that have company stock. And it's called net appreciation, unappreciated appreciation, NUA. And if you do have that and you have substantial appreciation, you would want to roll that out, take it out, excuse me, in a lump sum in a brokerage account, because that transaction is income tax free and you get capital gains on it, long-term capital gains on it, regardless of the holding period. So it could be sold, you can leave it to your heirs, they can sell it or hold it. So let's say you have a stock position where, let's say your basis is $100,000, and let's say it's worth $1 million right now. You don't want to do an IRA with that, because that would be a taxable event. You want to use NUA, because that rollover to a taxable brokerage account is a tax-free transaction. That may sound wrong, and you may hear alarm bells going off in your head, but what I just said is accurate, and you get long-term capital gains even if you hold it for one day. At death, the heirs get a step up in basis, so that entire appreciation is tax-free, and they can hold it, and their heirs would get a step up in basis and so on. If you sell it, it's long-term capital gains. So, but these three tests have to be, have to be adhered to. And after late September, if, as I said, the courts don't do something about it. But right now, Department of Labor is looking really very, very carefully at the question of whether or not you should do a rollover, and it's also looking at individual IRAs as though they're ERISA covered. Now, the ERISA law never covered IRAs, and President Obama never covered individual IRAs, excuse me, as an ERISA covered plan. But these current regulations under President Biden do look at it that way, and we'll just have to see what happens. There are 7 lawsuits against the Department of Labor's regulation. It's impossible for me to know at this point. Nobody can say what's going on. Since we're talking about this, maybe we should be all right if we talk about RMDs.
That's something that we know that the age has been delayed to 73 and eventually 75.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a question that comes up whether or not deferring to age 73 is really a positive or a negative. Now, I know the positive is, yeah, you get more time to grow your assets and your investments. Okay, so that goes on the plus side of the ledger. But there's a negative side to this as well, because as Ed Slott, who is one of the leading IRA experts in the country, and the other is Denise Appleby, and Ed Slott makes the case that you should take your RMDs before age 73. Now, why is he making that argument? Well, number one, if you wait to 73, you have larger amounts of money that you're taking out over a shorter time period, which is your life expectancy, and therefore you're leaving a larger estate value, a larger legacy value. So you have to decide, is that what I want to do? So that's number one. Number two, you're preventing yourself from taking advantage of Roth conversions. If you take RMDs before the mandatory age, you can do Roth conversions. Now, that's a whole conversation, obviously, on taxation and tax brackets and tax allocation, but it doesn't change the fact that you have a lot more flexibility as to what you want to do if you take distributions before age 73. Now, if you are still at work and you have a 401k, you have to meet what's called the 5% test. In other words, if you own less than 5% of the company, you do not have to take RMDs. Now, you can aggregate all IRA RMDs and you can take them in cash or in kind. And the in kind is very important because there are a lot of uses for in kind. For example, if you're doing a self-managed IRA, you can take in kind distributions on real estate. That's a whole other conversation, but that's just a very important example of where you could put real estate into a self-managed IRA. You couldn't put it into a traditional IRA. But the other side of this, as I'm saying, the other side of this coin is if you wait to age 73, you can take more than your RMD. You must take the RMD, but if you take more than your RMD, you can take the excess and put that into a Roth if you want to do that. Or into a brokerage account and for the purpose of getting capital gain treatment. Tax diversification is vitally, vitally important because it's going to impact not only what you're going to pay in taxes, but how long your assets and your income is going to last. So it's very important to have a tax plan. Let's talk about the truth. I mean, there's an important truth about CPAs, and I'm not knocking CPAs. I have a lot of good friends who are CPAs. I mean that seriously. It's not a backhanded compliment. I work with a number of CPAs. Mm-hmm. I respect them, but the truth of the matter is, number one, there aren't a lot of CPAs anymore. Their average age is 50. It's not a profession that people are rushing to go into anymore. So that's one problem. Number two, since there aren't a lot of them, they have their plate full. They make their money dealing with business accounts. They don't make their money doing individual accounts. But even on business accounts, when they're knocking out returns, they're trying to knock out as many returns as they can, as fast as they can. And if the return makes sense, you got it. They're going to send it to you. So they'll tell you it's reviewed, which it was. But the point is, it may not always be the best possible return that could be done. You may be overpaying. There may be one of the areas in business that gets where there's a lack of understanding is what gets depreciated and what can be expensed immediately. And this is a major area. Most accountants will mistakenly depreciate rather than take an immediate expense on the individual return. There can be errors caused by the software. There can be more than one way of looking at an item and of putting the return together. So there's a difference between knocking out and doing tax returns and also doing tax planning and doing a tax allocation. A tax return is a historical document. It's all over. It's all done with. There's nothing you can do. The type of proactive planning that I'm talking about that we do is we're doing it before you get to the return, so where you have time to make choices. Now, as people start to, let me also say, and this comes both from Ed Slott and from Denise Appleby, majority of people take distributions prior to age 73 because they need the money, and that's that's another consideration, and that's really a function of a part of the crisis that we have in this country. We have a retirement crisis. We have a demographic crisis. I mean, these are the kinds of things that you want to address. Now, for reasons that I do not understand, the politicians constantly look at Canada and Australia as an example. But just zero in on Australia, because I follow Australia fairly closely, because the politicians in the United States always look at Australia as having the solution. And they don't. Their retirement system doesn't work any better than ours is. It's a mandatory system. It's more European, where you combine Social Security with a defined benefit. And then once you get to retirement, the system is no longer mandatory. It's voluntary. And there's conversation going on right now to go to, amend, in effect, the Secure Act 2.0 to make our system mandatory. In other words, you don't give anybody a choice about signing up for the 401k plan. You require them to sign up, and you prevent them from opting out. So, in effect, you're forcing them to save for their own retirement. Not telling them how much to save, but you've got a total mandatory system. You know, what happens at retirement age? Is the system going to stay mandatory? Well, in Australia, it's not. It flips to voluntary, and you can do as you please. What will we do here? Would the system be voluntary, or would it still be mandatory? And would the Supreme Court permit a mandatory system? I suspect they would not, because that would eliminate freedom of choice, and that would be taken away from us by statute or by regulation. So I don't know how that would work. Social Security, we've talked about Social Security before. All I'll say is there are changes that can be made very quickly and have been, and that's the leverage strategies that were eliminated during President Obama's presidency, and the full retirement age was done gradually over a 30-year period. So now age 67 is now the average retirement age, and it really requires planning to figure out what is the optimal strategy, not only for an individual, but also for a surviving spouse. Which benefit should they take? And the answer can be counterintuitive because of extended longevity. And so it's important today, where so few people have a pension, to get that right. Now, Dr. Malevsky then used the term pensionize some of your assets to provide an income. And he made up that term so that people would use an annuity, an income annuity, to provide lifetime income. And, you know, there's something called the annuity paradox, which is that people want the benefit of an annuity, but they don't like the name annuity. And it's really strange. Nobody's ever gotten to, you know, unravel the why the annuity paradox actually exists. But it does. And the great magic of the annuity is its ability to provide a lifetime income, even if your account is at zero balance. And there's no other financial instrument, there's no other tool that you could buy or use that will do that for you. Every other instrument, every other tool will tell you that if your account is exhausted, it's at zero balance, that's the end of your ability to get income or to use the assets. You've consumed them all. The annuity is different. It will pay you when you have no money left in the annuity. So all of these things require a written retirement plan. I had somebody come in recently and said to me, "Why should I do business with you?" That's exactly the way he said it. And I said, "Well, before I can answer your question, show me your written retirement plan." So he repeated his question, and I repeated my answer. And I then said to him, "Do you have a written retirement plan?" And he said, "Well, I have all these statements that I'm showing you." I said, "Yes, thank you, but it's not a written retirement plan. You have a lot of assets, but you don't have a written retirement plan. And the retirement plan has to cover such things as longevity, income, taxes, budgeting, legacy, if that's what you want. It's estate value, health care. What's your plan? What's your written plan?" And he said, "I don't have one." And we moved on from there. And that's the imperative. I mean, everything else is conversation.
Right.
You know, education is fine, but if you don't do anything with the education, it doesn't really matter. And you should not be dependent, in my opinion. You know, there aren't a lot of always, but one always for me, and this is in stoning, concrete and steel, don't depend on the government. Government cannot be relied on. It's always, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what the politicians of the day will decide on. That is in our best interest based on their understanding of what's in our best interest. And you shouldn't be dependent on them. There was a famous basketball player on the championship Knicks. You may remember him, Dave DeBuscia, who was a shooting guard. Was a power forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave DeBuscia always said that if you win a game, you should win it independent of the referees, and if you lose a game, you should not lose a game because of the referees. Mm. And I would say that's a powerful, powerful truth. And I would say that that's the same lesson that you can apply to government, because the 401k still puts us on our own. Now, I do think, my personal opinion, I do think the Roth is safe because there's a compelling need for revenue, you know, based on Congress's and the administration's proclivity to spend money that we don't have, and that creates deficits. So anything that they can do, any money they get their hands on, that's what they are inclined to do. So I think the Roth is safe for now. Going to be safe forever?
Well, will we be grandfathered in if we're participating now in it, or?
Well, usually the way grandfathering works is, yeah, you're grandfathered for what you've done now, but not for new contributions.
Right. Right. Okay. Ooh. Okay. Well, hopefully not.
So I don't think the Roth is in any danger right now, as long as there's a need for revenue.
Yeah.
And
well, they had a lot of Roth in that Secure Act 2.0.
They did. And they've made the 401k and the Roth the central thing. Mm-hmm. Now there are confusing aspects, you know, in 2.0. These abilities to borrows. And this emergency fund concept, I mean, if you're encouraging people to save for the long term, they should not be able to access money.
Right. No.
And that's my concern. But you've got the other concern, you know, from these studies that we constantly see, is that people can't rub two nickels together. And if they have a catastrophic event, you know, that a catastrophic event being defined an expense above $400, mm-hmm. They don't have the $400 extra in order to meet that expense.
Yeah, that's the case with a lot. I've definitely heard that. And interesting how, though, the demographic crisis, if you will, and I think you referenced it as that, with the aging of America challenges that we face, there are many more. And Fred will stay on top of that. Quick break, though, coming up, the elimination of the stretch IRA and inflation rates, well, like we close to what we have not seen in a while. And how is that putting a strain on retirement planning? What are the challenges created there? Fred will address that straight ahead on Money Matters USA.
Are you losing sleep over market volatility affecting your hard-earned retirement savings? You can't afford to lose a big portion of your nest egg with not enough time to recover. Many people want safety and the guarantee of principal, but also prefer the potential of higher growth with the market. And now you can have both. Call Fred Sade at Money Matters USA at 800-593-8188. That's 800-593-8188.
We're back with Money Matters USA. How do you reach out to Fred? Couple of ways, moneymattersusa.net. That's the website. You can also hear the podcast there, and there are plenty more to hear. 148 other ones. You can scroll through, read the description on each. Also, be sure to click that red light program tab. Learn about the red light on the dashboard. That's something, one of the tools, and a major tool with the process with Fred that he, of course, implements with those he works with on a very customized basis. That's all at moneymattersusa.net. Well, we covered in the first segment, because of so many, well, 10,000 baby boomers a day or more, as you said, every day turning 65, and you know, basically the graying of America, the challenges there. Let's look at two other things creating challenges, Fred. The first came from the original Secure Act, and that is the elimination of the stretch IRA. What challenges did that create?
Well, it makes it extremely difficult to use qualified assets, if not impossible, to use qualified assets for estate planning. The whole idea of the Congress was to force out the qualified plan assets, the IRAs, and force a distribution of them. The Internal Revenue Service then came up with a series of mind-numbing regulations as to when you have to take distributions and for how long you have to take distributions. Now, it also made trusts, they're not impossible. So you cannot say you cannot say that trusts cannot be used for IRAs. They can be, but they're not all that attractive. There are see-through trusts which don't do anything really for you because they just see through to the age of the person who has to take the RMDs, and that would apply to all beneficiaries. Or you can have an accumulation trust which can pay out or not pay out, but has to pay tax on the accumulated assets. So it's not impossible to do this, but it's not all that attractive. So trying to estate plan with qualified assets basically has gone by the board. The other thing that we can talk about, because it's top of mind, I would think, or what I see, is inflation.
Oh, yeah.
And the planning that we do and the methodology that we were trained in is to eliminate the impact of inflation. And it's not that hard for us to do using our methodology. So we counteract inflation by having discretionary income available every single month, and that discretionary income can then be used to offset inflation and the decreased purchasing power, the decline in value of the dollar. The other thing is we will use ladder strategies, and there are a number of different kinds of ladders, and we talked a little bit about ladders in last week's podcast. But we can have a ladder come in, let's say, at 5-year intervals and give us more purchasing power, you know, at that point. But it is possible to counteract inflation. But again, you have to plan for it. If you don't plan for it, you know, then you're basically left with the need, if you can, to get a part-time job or get a second full-time job, or a spouse gets a part-time job. I mean, you're just really running very hard to stay in the same place. And it does not appear that the Federal Reserve is going to be helpful. And I'm not criticizing the Federal Reserve. I just don't think they're going to be able to deal with inflation. Because they basically exclude what they call volatile expenses, which is shelter, food, and fuel. And all of these have seen enormous increases in pricing, and then we've also seen medical cost of medical care and prescription drugs also go up significantly.
And it already was.
Yeah, and now there's a suggestion being made around Washington and in the media, that some media, that the Fed ought to adopt a 4% target rather than 2%, and the Wall Street Journal said that that would give them more flexibility, but whether it does or it doesn't, it means that we're living with increased inflation. So this is going to be a problem here. It's a presidential election year, usually in spending increases. The Fed may not be able to cut interest rates before the election. It might cut it after the election, but who knows if it will cut at all. This is a challenging problem, but there are ways to plan around inflation, and it's not simply to just keep on increasing the number in your planning software. I mean, some things don't inflate. A fixed rate mortgage doesn't inflate. A fixed rate car loan doesn't inflate. But there are other things that are subject to inflation, and you have to have a way to address that. And we do have a very effective way of doing that. So we're left with the need. The need is to plan. And not to ask your friend or somebody that you don't know on the internet for advice. You want to risk all the money that you and the assets that you've built an entire lifetime based on some anonymous person on the internet? I can't wrap my mind around that. I don't know why that makes sense to people.
And especially with just what you covered today and the challenges that we face, and they are many. In retirement today, it's very important to get the plan together, and that's where Fred comes in. And it's also nice there are people like Fred, fiduciaries, who decided to focus on the retirement phase of your financial life now longer than ever. So more important than ever to get a plan. What does yours look like? You can find out. You can schedule with Fred with a phone call in to 800-593-8188. 800-593-8188. You can also schedule and more at the website moneymattersusa.net, the red light on the dashboard tab. Click the podcast tab. When you click that, not only can you access the podcast there or wherever you download your podcast, but also you'll see Stump the Guru. We're about to do another Stump the Guru question, and that's where you can submit yours to Fred there at moneymattersusa.net. So that's it, a wrap on another great podcast episode 149. These drop every Friday. Money Matters USA.
Investment advisory services offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. Fred Sade and his guests provide general information, not individually targeted personalized advice, and are not liable for the usage of information discussed. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell in any of these financial vehicles. This information should also not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with a professional specializing in the fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate and when redeemed may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to the securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are offered through Money Matters USA, LLC. By contacting Money Matters USA, you may be provided information regarding the purchase of insurance products.